Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is August 17th, 2002. My name is Judge David Wynn Miller, and I punctuate my name as I wrote it up here. It's David-Wynn Miller. Punctuation is placed in the name because it makes it a noun. Full colons represent prepositional phrases, and hyphens are a hieroglyphic that joins compound nouns together. When this program was originally established back in 1988, 14 years ago, going back, I was an individual who went through a divorce in 1980, and when a judge said to me, because you're a man, you cannot have your children, that women can nurture children better than a man, it brought to the attention that I was a victim of an apartheid, a discrimination, that I was damaged by this discrimination. And so I set out on a course to find out what caused this event to take place in our history, that in a land that we believed it was America, that an individual could be a victim of apartheid and discrimination, and that the court system could get away with it. So I did research, and my research brought me to 1985, where I stood before Judge Wasilewski, and he said, the only way you can get me prosecuted is if I do give you a confession. So I went ahead and I told the judge that I already had his confession. He says, but you have to have it in writing. He says, that's a fat chance. So I sat down to figure out why communication skills didn't work, because every time I said yes, the court said no. Every time I said no, the court said yes. It was a no-win scenario. Why was it a no-win scenario? Because the court system was set up in what we call fiction, where all things are a condition of modification, opinion, presumption, assumption, and an apartheid. Well, no one on this planet has ever gone to war over a math problem. And I looked at what math was an accuracy of solving problems in a binary code. And if an individual went ahead and made a mistake in math, we just did the problem backwards. In other words, we could check to see where the error took place, and then went ahead and corrected it. No one ever got angry over a math problem. No religion ever fought another religion over a math problem. No political organization ever went to war with another political organization over a math problem. And so I wanted to find out what the key was that 5,000 languages on this planet still maintained a reasonable amount of communication, and yet continue to kill each other through wars, misrepresentation. So I went ahead and I spent 3 years running the procedures of language through every possible math communication skill that I could find. And the final end result was very simple. It was the math problem of 1 plus 2 equals 3. 3 minus 2 equals 1. That was the key, the simplest of things. They went ahead and broke this technology open. And when I went ahead and I took this math problem and I gave it values, and those values certified the positions of language. Now, all numbers are nouns. You know that all 2 million words in the English language are nouns? It's how you use those words that make a difference. And these are the procedures of the words that are identified in our English language. Now, when you start with a noun, one, and you end with, and you do your problem frontwards, and then you do your problem backwards, the noun coming in should be the noun going out. And the reflection of a mirror, if you put a noun in front of a mirror, the reflection inside that mirror must also be the same noun. So that the reflection of the mirror is the certification of frontwards and backwards and how things are articulated. So
We gave values to each one of these letters.
The one was a noun because the noun was reflected on both sides. The three was a noun as it was reflected on both sides. Here we gave you the modifications of procedures. The one thing that here, an article, has a six. We gave that, we brought these down to numbers. To write words on top of words become cumbersome. In other words, I have a piece of paper here, and it has words written on it. If I were to take and write these long words on top of each one of these words to identify procedures, the paper would become very cumbersome and difficult to see. So we went to a number code, just using simple numbers. They were easy to fit into the tiny spaces. And at the same time, when an individual looks at numbers, they don't get romantically involved because they are binary codes. So we remove emotion from your thought process, and we reduce you to a position of just identifying a number code. Now, because the ones on both sides of the page were the same, and threes on both sides were the same as independent numbers, we gave those the values of nouns. The one thing that appears in front of a number here is an equal sign. The equal signs, we gave the values as a conjunction, the word and. If I said table and chair and table, and, or the word as a conjunction, has zero value. So therefore, with a zero value, we were not creating a modification. The other thing is the article. When you have a prepositional phrase, you have a preposition, an article, and a noun. So the article appears in front of the noun. Just as 6 comes before 7, the article comes before the noun. And the equal in both conditions here come before the noun also. So we gave the equal sign the value of a conjunction and an article. The two we use as a verb on both conditions. Because an object or a noun in motion, like this pen, it's a three-dimensional object, person, place, or thing. If it's in motion, we identified it as a verb. All nouns that are in motion are classified as verbs. So what we did here is we had a positive and a negative. So the two became the verb in the sentence. Now the verb is your thinking capacity. All things in nature are a condition of state, but hold a thought in your hand. Show me the three-dimensional object called thinking. It's quite invisible, you might add. But it's the motion of that invisibility that all nouns move around and we communicate, because the condition of state of all nouns that we see are actually three-dimensional objects, and they are hard nouns. The only thing that moves those from point A to point B is the volition of thinking. So we gave the value of the positive 2 and the negative 2 a verb, leaving there only one thing left on the paper, the plus and the minus. Those become opposites. And the opposite was assigned to the preposition. And pre means no. Pre also means to come before a position. The position was the thinking. The thinking then went to the conjunction or the article, and that article commands the noun. Now all things are commanded by a condition of thinking, so there is an order of operations to what this math formula says. Now if I just gave you a sentence, for the river is under the bridge, for the bridge is over the river, what is your preposition? Over and under. And they are complete opposites, just like plus and minus. Is the volition of the sentence identical? The answer is yes. So when you write frontwards and backwards, the volition of correcting your language has to be identical. Anytime you make a statement frontwards, you want to check it. If the volition goes backwards and it's identical, then you know you've done your sentence correctly. So the prepositional phrase becomes a relevancy, giving us the power to identify every noun in English language with 900 definitions. And then taking the one in the 900 definitions and associating them with one noun to another noun to another noun to another noun. It's what's 900 times 900? 81,000. What's 81,000 times 900? 2.7 million. And what's 2.7 million times 900? It gives you a level of accuracy in construction of a sentence that is so profound that when you write an entire document of 10, 20, 30,000 words, and every single sentence has a 1 to 100 million accuracy, you wind up with a document that is so accurate that it commands an event that is not disputed. Good question.
Yeah. Did I correct you on 900 plus 900 is 1800?
No, I said 900 times 900.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's 81,000.
Yeah.
You're doing, you see, because of your variables, every time you do your multiply, you have your variables. But in a variable, you also divide by 2. And then you do your next multiplication, and you divide by 2. So you wind up with about 100 million to 1, just to use 4 words, with 900 variables for each set, for each word.
Okay.
And those, when you can come in with an accuracy in a single sentence to 1 in 100 million, that no one can come out there and hand you a definition to change that level of accuracy. When you want to go out and practice law, or not practice law, but actually dictate what is in the law, of the law, by the law, you have a level that people respect. And it can be translated in all 5,000 languages. Now, language on this planet is a condition of modification. Every single language, all 5,000 of them, take adverbs and place them in front of our nouns. An adverb is a condition of modifying your noun. Modification is a change. A change is a motion. A motion is an action. And action is a verb. So if we're going to take a pen, this is a three-dimensional object, and I take this object, and this object commits a crime. If it's a noun now, the noun committed the crime, but then the lawyer, the police officer, or the judge in our fiction goes ahead and says, the pen committed the crime. And when it goes the, it becomes an adverb because it drops the prepositional phrase. It only becomes the article. And the article, when it's used independently, no longer becomes the article. It becomes an adverb. So it becomes a modifier. And if I modify the condition of my noun, it's in motion. And if it's in motion, it's a verb. So when I say the pen, it's an adverb verb. And now this noun becomes a verb. Now if this noun is a verb, and a verb is an action, but this is a fact, and I take this fact and I put it on paper, I just destroyed my document. I changed the condition of what the facts were into something that is not, that has no substance, that has a condition of modification. And if you're talking about a 900 variable modification for one noun onto a piece of paper, and you write a sentence using a dozen different other verbs and adverb verb modifications or adverb adjective pronoun modification, you're going to wind up with a fiction that is so far from the fact that there will be only presumptions, assumptions, and opinions is what we're trying in this courtroom. So when I developed this technology, I wanted the accuracy of math. No one ever went to war over a math problem on planet Earth. Did you know that? But we've been fighting and killing each other over sentence structure and communication skills since the beginning of time. So we went ahead and we developed it. We took the parts of speech and we gave them number codes because to write these words out above words is cumbersome. People are romantically involved with words. They are not romantically involved with binary codes of 0101 using numbers. And besides, it's very difficult to write an entire word in a tiny little space. You know, the government has a law about what's called double spacing when you write a document. You're supposed to have a character space. Let's see if I've got a spacer. Government says that, this is for legal contracts now. We're going to give it a value, and then we're going to have a space, Then we're going to skip a space here. Then we have another space. And then this here is where we're going to have our writing. It's called every other sentence. Now, when an individual does this in the legal profession, they used to have, this is the science behind this. We write tight spacing like this here, we're going to wind up with 400 words on a page. The person charges $100 a page, he's got 400 words on a page. Then they went to spacing and one and a half spacing, so they only had 300 words on a page. And they still billed you $100 a page. Then they went to double spacing. And so now they only have 200 words on a page. Then they went to large print, 12 point instead of 11, and then double spacing, so they're skipping spaces. So now they only have 100 words on a page. In each page, they bill you at $100 in the legal profession. And the court systems bills the taxpayers at $100 a page. So they voted themselves a 400% pay increase, and they did this double spacing. Well, with that nice little space in here, we were able to go in and identify the parts of speech and how they were fraudulently conveyed. All legal documents today are now 0.02 spacing, which means they don't have a word. A space and a word, they take about 80% of the space and they actually write the words on top of each other. So that there is no physical room to go ahead and put the numbering codes on here to do the corrections. They went back to putting 400 words on a page so that they can't be corrected anymore. So what we do is we'll take a document like this and we'll enlarge it to the size of a piece of paper like this so we have enough space on top of each of the words to put the numbers to prove that the mathematical procedures that this number code represents, we can identify the fraud on their documents. And when a lawyer, a judge, or a politician creates a law, a bill, or puts any words on paper, and then we go ahead and put the number codes on top, and there are no prepositional phrases, there are no nouns because it requires a prepositional phrase to make a noun. And the entire 10, 20, 30,000 word document is a complete adverb-verb modification or an adverb-adjective-pronoun modification. Where are the facts? What volition of thinking created a fiction that was so elaborate that we are not in a position of 100% fraud, but 200% fraud? So even if you found a couple of mistakes, you would still be in fraud. You ever hear the expression, a little bit pregnant? You either are or you're not. You either have a fact or you have a lie. There is no middle ground. It's plus or minus. It's very cold and cut. So we came to the table with an accuracy that is 100 million to 1 accurate versus their 100 million to 1 fiction. In other words, their fiction was so well built that no one could punch a hole through it. And since man started scratching on paper, he has been a victim of modification. This process goes back 8,700 years. For 8,700 years, every treaty, trust, contract, and piece of paper that man has created has been a lie. Now, we developed this technology and it was certified in 1987. It took us 3 years to create this program, to actually stumble upon how this works. And it was very simple when it happened. We had a piece of line paper in a spiral notebook. And we wrote this, 1 plus 2 equals 3, 3 minus 2 equals 1, on the red line. Because the red line, was the document was laying like this. You know how spiral notebooks have their line paper with the red line on it? We wrote it on the line. And then I went and got my coffee that morning. And when we stood the paper up this way, we had a graph. So we put the values on the graph, and then we tried to disprove them. And for the first time, we had a mathematical interface that certified the parts of speech and how they were obstructed. And from that, this whole program has been built. I'm currently running on 58,000 hours of research on this program. We have over 100 million students worldwide. We have over 12,000 new students a day that log on and read our website. So this is exponentializing itself. We have challenges from any language, from any culture or judiciary anywhere in the world to disqualify or dispute any of this technology. Lawyers have been invited to come to this program, and judges. They stopped coming about 150 seminars ago. Yes?
I wanted to know if you could create a case, though, because you're talking about building a sentence, you know, a sentence with structure. Could you not create a truth? That actually did not happen.
Could I create a truth that did not happen?
Correct. In other words, say I went and jumped off the top of this building.
Okay.
Could you create a sentence in the truth saying that I went and jumped off the building if I did not actually do it?
No, you would have to physically... In other words, if you were asking me to describe a physical act, you would have to... I could say you did it. In other words, for the witness with the knowledge and with the claim... of the viewing of this party with the jumping jumping hyphen off of the building. See, jumping is a condition of an action. Off is a second definition to be removed. If you said jumping off and you didn't hyphenate it, the jumping would become an adjective of a pronoun off. Pro means no, and noun is N-O and U-N, both mean no, no.
Okay.
Because all nouns in the English language were a conditional modification since their conception. They were a double negative, and two negatives don't make a positive.
Right.
They just make a negative. So man created a word here, pro means no, N-O means no, and U-N means no. So they created a triple no. Down here, we were always taught a noun is a person, place, and thing.
Right.
And then they went ahead and they spelled it in a format that removed it. Why? Because from its conception to 4-6-2000, its conception could never be certified in a position. Now, does anyone know what the date 4-6-2000 means?
When you certify this program.
This program was certified in 4-6-2000. If you look at biblical times through all the number codes and from the pyramids going back 4,700 years, it was foretold that on the date of 4-6-2000 at sunrise that an event would take place on planet Earth that would change this planet for all times to come. That event was forecasted at the pyramids. When the pyramids were built, the structure of how the pyramids were put together created a stellar event of an alignment between the sunrise, between the pyramids, between Virgo, which was the morning star, Orion, which was the morning star, and Virgo, which was the sunset, the sun, the last star to set, of the set, at the morning of 4-6, April 6, 2000. Now, the Mormons had foreseen this. It was written in the Mormon religion. It was also written... in the Egyptian calendar, that an event will take place on 4-6-2000 because of the way the alignment of the pyramids were built was a calendar. And on that morning at exactly 5:30 a.m. was the day that I copyrighted the quantum technology in mathematics and certified the alignment of prepositional phrases that come before nouns and how each prepositional phrase had a specific authority in now time. There was no past, there was no future, there was only now time, and there was always only now time. And then the number codes were created to put this together. Now I'll explain how this works. An adverb is a condition of modification. Anytime modification takes place, it creates motion.
So therefore, the verb was always the motion in the English language. For that fact, in all languages, one comes before two, and an adverb comes before the verb. So the adverb is going to become a condition of modifying the verb. One comes before three, and an adverb always modifies an adjective. Therefore, the order of operations is natural. When the adjective modifies a noun, it changes it. Like if I say red pen, or is it crimson pen? Red and crimson are the same color. And yet, I'm using a different language or a different expression. But then again, how does a blind person who's never seen a color in his life determine what color red is? In other words, red is a presumption. There's 1,200 shades of red. Which one are we articulating? Because we don't have the ability to articulate accuracy or see accuracy, pro becomes an issue of no, noun. Because the pronoun red now is a condition of the adjective red has now been modified. The noun, which was a fact of red, now becomes modified. Once it's modified, it changes its condition. Therefore, it's no noun. Therefore, pro means no in Latin. So you have a modified, and three comes before four, and the adjective modifier always creates a pronoun. Because which one of the 1,200 shades of noun is this? We don't have a level of accuracy, it's guesswork. Now the preposition, three means to come before a position. So therefore the preposition is what we call a vote, or rules. If we get together and we decide, what are we going to call this object? Well, we call it scribble in Spanish, though. You see, so we've got 5,000 names for this pen. But if we all vote in this room to say the word pen is spelled P-E-N, that we're going to adapt the alphabet A through Z, the English alphabet. I mean, we have the Chinese alphabet with 10,000 characters here, which would take everybody would have to go back to school and learn how to do that. But we'll make a presumption here that everyone in this room knows how to use the alphabet A through Z. And because we're going to use the letters A through Z, 26 letters, and together we're going to choose three of them, P-E-N, and we're going to identify this object as a pen. If we all agree that this is going to be our identity for this object, then we would vote on it. So what is a preposition? It's a condition of assigning a vote of what the facts are. So that we're all going to be working with the same rules and regulations. In other words, let's establish definitions before we identify what the nouns are. And it's a combination of definition and votes. In other words, rules and voting go into the idea of what the preposition is. When you all agree on that, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to establish an article. An article would be a judge, a leader. And through the voting of what the noun is, and through the voting of what the preposition of information, when we get all the information together, somebody has to command that. That's why we have only one judge in a courtroom. We have one leader in a country. Everybody gets together and they vote what the rules and regulations are going to be, but one person always elected is a leader. And that leader makes sure that the definitions of the prepositions of the leader are followed so that you can get to the facts, which are the noun. And they do the enforcements. So a judge, a king, a queen, or a leader position is what the article is going to be, and that person is always elected by the people that created the rules and regulations in the first place. Once these two facts are concluded, the preposition of the article now will establish what the facts are, which is a noun, because the arguments take place in the preposition. A position is a fact. And then we get to the noun. In English language, it was a no-no. That's what a noun is. No, and U-N is also no. And why was it a no-no? Because the English language, along with all other languages on this planet, all 5,000, went ahead and took the fact and they modified it. Now, is the ceiling high?